There are about as many different beliefs, many different religions, and about as many ideas about the Lord, and about worship, and about salvation, and all the things that have to do with what we call spirituality, that rather than answer the question, why are there so many different beliefs, let me just make a very simple statement. You need to figure out which one is right. You say, well, I naturally would suppose that you think you're right. Well, certainly. How could I think anything else? If I didn't think what I believed was right, I certainly wouldn't be here this morning. Now, Jesus Christ made a promise that he would send back his Spirit and that the Spirit would reprove of three things. And they're absolutely essential in our lives. Basically, they determine whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. And when I say that the Spirit reproves us, the human race, individually and collectively, three things. What I mean is, he tries to convince us of three things. So as much as is possible, I'm going to try to just let you look at what he has to say, think about it, and let the Spirit convince you. Because I certainly would not want to have any church member who the Holy Spirit of God had not convinced of these three things. And I think you would be wasting your time if he was not able to convince you of them. The Spirit convinces of three things, and we're going to look at all three of those things this morning. The work of the Holy Spirit. Lord willing, this morning I'm going to cover one aspect of his work, and I'm going to cover one of the three things that he tries to convict us of. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday night, or next Sunday morning, I should say, I'm going to try to cover the other two things. So as you watch this morning, I hope you won't take it as here's a man standing up here giving us his opinion. I want you to look at what it says, think about what it says, and see if the Spirit convinces you. The quickening work of the Spirit. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ made one thing perfectly plain, that he was going to suffer, bleed, and die, was going to be resurrected from the dead, and ascend back to heaven. So he told the first New Testament church that he had organized during his earthly ministry in John 6, 62, 63, wondering if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. What if Jesus was still here personally and you went to him and asked him what you had to do to be saved? You could get it straight from his lips. But you can get it straight from his lips, because the Holy Spirit that he sent, the Paracletos, the Comforter, one called alongside, one like him, tries to convince you of three things. We're going to talk about those three things this morning. And if you're not convinced about this first one, I hope that you'll be convinced before I'm finished. He makes a very important point here. All of his points are important. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means to make alive. You've heard the expression, ye must be born again. Must being emphatic. And again, the word that is used means from above. So you have to be quickened from above, because that's where Jesus ascended, and his Spirit extends down to this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. So it's the Spirit that's going to have to convince you of these things, And this morning, we're only going to cover the first. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. If you're in a religion where you have to have your flesh pumped up all the time, and you have to feel good in the flesh constantly about it, and you just have to be hyped a little higher and a little higher and a little higher before you can really feel it, then maybe it's not profiting you. Jesus said the words. That's what you're looking at on this screen, his words. That's the only thing we preach in this church. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So whatever you believe, it needs to be something that you have been convinced of by the Holy Spirit. In John 16, 7 through 9, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Wouldn't if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? John 16, 7 through 9. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, absolutely necessary. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, if I don't ascend back up to my Father, the Comforter, capitalized because it's Parakletos, a twin, one called alongside, one likened to me. For if I go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's personal. You don't have to believe what a man says. But if the Holy Spirit of God takes this living word and convicts you and convinces you, you ought to do what he says. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of three things. He will attempt to convince. When you're going to prove something to somebody, you attempt to convince them. And he's going to reprove the world of three things, of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. This morning, we're only going to cover the first one, of sin, because they believe not on me. Seems a rather curious statement, and we're going to examine exactly what it means. He convicts the world, the Holy Spirit, of sin, and he gives you the reason why. Because they believe not on me. We're talking about being quickened, born from above. And God quickened the first Adam by breathing his spirit into his physical creation of clay. Recorded in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God made man out of the earth. But man had no spirit. He had no connection with God. He was merely made out of the earth. And so God breathed his spirit, his breath, into man, and man became a living soul with the spirit of God breathed into him. Adam later sinned, which caused him to be separated spiritually from God by spiritual death. And since that time, all men and women have been born physically, but they are born spiritually dead toward God, separated from God, because they inherited Adam's nature. He remained physically alive toward the world, but died spiritually toward God. Since it was man that sinned, only a man could perform the act of restoration toward God. So the last Adam, God incarnate, the man Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was made a quickening spirit from a woman's womb, a sinless human being, in order to restore believers to God in him by the power of the words of life. This is the way he restores you to it. John 6, 63, 68. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And as you look at these words, they are the words that he wrote through John with the purpose of quickening you. If you accept and believe these words, you're being convinced by the Holy Spirit. You're being reproved by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps, if you believe what the Spirit says, and you aren't saved now, you'll walk out of here saved. Notice what Peter said five verses later in verse 68. John 6, 63, 68. Then Simon Peter answered and said to the Lord, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." If you do not believe the words that Jesus spoke and that the Holy Spirit convicts you of, and reproves you with them, you will never have eternal life, nor will you ever understand it. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. If Jesus Christ does not quicken you, you do not have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit of God says, according to Jesus' statement, that the Holy Spirit will convict of sin. Then it tells you why. Because you believe not on the only begotten Son of God. Christ breathes his eternal life into those who recognize themselves to be sinners, unable to restore themselves to God by their own works, their own efforts, any work or act of their own ability. The law, his word, with all its commandments, was given to teach man that he is by birth a natural born sinner. Having inherited the old sin nature of the first Adam, and that the only faith, and that only faith in Christ's ability to have kept the law for him will justify him before God. He reproves the world of sin because they believe not on Jesus. Once man has learned that truth and comes to Christ as his only hope of salvation, the word, the law, stops teaching him to come to Christ for salvation of his soul and starts teaching him daily repentance for the sins it keeps on revealing to him. Why is that not just my opinion? For this reason. Galatians 3, 24, 26. Wherefore the law, which was the word, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. He doesn't try to keep teaching you how to be saved, because he's taught you what a sinner you are, and how much you have to have a Savior, and that Jesus is the only one. Notice what he says next in Galatians 3, 24, 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you're counting on your baptism to save you, or to add to Christ to save you, or to keep you by salvation afterwards, you're lost. You're not a child of God. If you're teaching on the sacrament to keep you safe or saved, or to save you in the first place, you've never understood that it is impossible to please God except through Jesus Christ, and you must be saved by him alone. I was saved 60 years ago. I was saved by grace through faith. Now, does that mean I don't sin anymore? No. But here's what it does mean. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'm 72 years old. I still sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you don't understand this principle, I hope you will come to understand it, because it is one of the most important principles for an individual to understand, to have a relationship with God that's eternal. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are natural-born sinners. And our only hope of being restored spiritually to God is by belief in Christ Jesus alone for our salvation. Him and him alone and nothing else. His perfect life, his keeping the law for us, his shed blood, his torn flesh, his life offered up for us, and God resurrecting him from the dead. Now he sits in heaven, and all power in heaven and earth is given to him. And when we come to him, we're saved by him personally, because we are convinced and convicted and reproved by God's Holy Spirit of the fact we are sinners. John 16:9. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of sin because they believe not on me. I hope you don't think you go to hell because you're a sinner. You don't. Men and women do not go to hell because they are sinners. Why do they go to hell? Because they believe not on me. I'd be hellbound if I didn't believe on Jesus Christ as the total propitiation, the total atonement, the total offering, the only acceptable offering that God would receive. If I didn't believe that when God looked at me and saw his son's blood and his torn flesh, and that I received Christ as my Savior, realizing how much he loved me and died for me, I'd be hellbound. But I'm not going to hell, because I believe on Jesus Christ as the total atonement for my sins. His blood, his sacrifice, him alone. Not my baptism, not my church membership. Men and women do not go to hell because they're sinners. They do not go to hell for sin or for their sinful condition. They go to hell because they fail to accept that only belief on Christ as the total atonement for all sin can save them completely and forever. If you're sitting here this morning and your faith is in something besides Jesus Christ, or you've got it in Jesus Christ plus the multiplicity of other things, you're lost and headed straight for hell. And I wouldn't have any love or compassion for you if I didn't tell you that. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. John 11:25-26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. I was born spiritually dead, and so are you. Spiritually dead toward God. But because I believe on Christ, as the total offering, the total propitiation, the total atonement for my sin, I've been made alive in Christ. I've been resurrected with him. I can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I do. That was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm very much alive. I believe in Christ, the total propitiation for my sins, the total offering, the total sacrifice, all that God requires. And he's alive. And I've called on his name. I will never die spiritually again. I was born dead spiritually, but 60 years ago, Christ quickened me, made me alive. The moment the Holy Spirit had convinced me that Christ was my only hope. The Spirit convicts man's soul of his sinful nature by the commandments in God's Word that he cannot keep perfectly. I can't keep the commandments of God perfectly. You want to hear a summarization of them according to Jesus in an answer to a lawyer? He said, this is the law and the prophets. He said, this is all the law and the prophets. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. I can't do that. Neither can you. But Jesus can, and Jesus did. Because I was helpless to do so, I could make the effort and should, but I cannot do it perfectly. Only Jesus could and did. The Spirit convicts man's soul of his sinful nature by the commandments in God's Word that he cannot keep perfectly. Only Jesus could and did. This is something that I think is extremely important, because many people that are morally good are very difficult to win to Christ. Some men and women consider themselves to be morally good enough to be saved without putting their faith in Christ to save them. Only Christ can save them by delivering them from the condemnation of God for sin by having taken all their sins in his own body on the cross. They are very difficult to convince. They are helplessly lost without faith in Christ alone to save them. Many others say, I'm just as good as anyone else. And they are basically correct. But the question to be answered is this: am I really good before God? Am I as good as God? Can I really do something good enough to please God as a sinful human being? Is it possible for me to be just as good as he is by keeping his standard of righteousness perfectly? Or is Jesus the only man who could and did? I assure you, he is the only man who ever lived who could and did. Jesus himself spoke these words to the Pharisees, and particularly to a lawyer. And this is a rich young ruler. And behold, Matthew 19, 16 and 17, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus was God incarnate in human flesh, and he's the only one who could keep the righteousness of God. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. God gave the commandments so you could see how sinful you were, so I could see how sinful I was, so that we would throw up our hands in desperation and trust Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice and nothing else. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Paul, a saved man, one of the greatest apostles, said he was the chief of sinners, and he said it twice. I've been saved for 60 years, and the older I get, the more I read God's Word, the more I'm convinced and convicted that I am much worse now than I used to be. Why? Because I have found more things in God's Word that are based on my own self-centeredness that I need to repent of than I ever realized when I was saved. The first Adam died spiritually toward God and passed the spiritual death sentence upon all men and women. That's what the first Adam did. A man or woman is set free from God's condemnation and passed from spiritual death into spiritual life the moment, the instant, they believe on Jesus as their eternal Savior. It's all over, because Jesus has finished the work. Notice, again, John 16:9. I hope the Holy Spirit this morning can convince you of this. You don't go to hell because you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We go to hell because we don't believe on Christ. Jesus said, because they believe not on me. You say, well, I believe he's the Son of God, but you also trust in your baptism to save you, don't you? You say, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you also trust in your good works to make sure that you don't go to hell, don't you? You don't trust Jesus. You trust Jesus and your own ability. You don't understand what grace is. Grace is not based on baptism or works. It's not based on something you can do. It's based on one thing. You realizing when you see God's standard of righteousness and look upon the life of Christ and see what a miserable, wretched sinner you are, you go to Jesus Christ and believe on Him to save you because He's the only one who's qualified. And then you don't have to sit around and worry about your salvation. How do I know you don't have to sit around and worry about your salvation? John 5:24, the words of Jesus. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Well, you're hearing His word this morning. Will you believe it? And believeth on Him that sent me. You believe God the Father sent the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world? You believe He came and suffered and bled and died for you on a cross? Or do you have to add something to Him? Do you have to add your church membership? Do you have to add your baptism? Do you have to add your works? It says, and believeth on Him that sent me. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God sent by the Father to die for your sins on the cross, and He's alive in heaven, and He's paid the price for all your sins, then, my friend, you've been passed from death into life. Have is a present indicative active. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. And everlasting life doesn't go away the next day. And shall not come into condemnation. You will never again be put back under the condemnation of God once you've heard His word, believed on Christ, but is passed from death into life. You've been passed from death into life. If you don't believe that and you don't understand that and you think you can lose your salvation and you think everlasting life is something that comes and goes, my friend, you are lost and you don't know Christ. You've never been passed from death into life. You've never put your full faith in Jesus Christ. Don't get mad about this. If this is offensive to you and it's hurting you inside, let me assure you that I'm not the one that's doing that. You're looking at this word on the screen and it's the Spirit of God that's doing it and trying to lead you to Christ. With a realization He's your only hope. The belief in the Scriptures, the quickening word, God gives us the new birth, the quickening. The breath of God's Spirit breathed into us. So we absolutely must be quickened by the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. Galatians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. There's nothing you can do in your body of flesh to save yourself. You were born in the flesh. You are corrupt from birth. And you have to be born again from above by the very breath of Christ, which is the living Word of God. John 3:6-7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I want you to notice what Jesus said. He didn't put any additional requirements on salvation. He didn't tell you had to be baptized. He didn't tell you had to maintain good works afterwards. Does He want you to be baptized? Absolutely. Does He want you to do good works? Absolutely. But He sets you free to make a choice as to whether or not to be baptized, and He sets you free to make a choice whether you want to do good works for Him. That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. John 5:39-40. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. You know why I came to Him? Because the Spirit of God used Galatians 3:16 to show me how sinful I was. Because I could not keep God's standard of righteousness. I cannot love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and my neighbor as myself. Neither can you. If you have the audacity to think that you can, you're a full-blown Pharisee headed straight for hell, trying to believe that you can make yourself morally righteous before God. Heaven will be filled with glorified humans who came into this world spiritually dead toward God, but turned to Christ as sinners to receive salvation of their souls by the new birth when they believed that Christ alone was able to save them
from what they were by birth and nature.
Hell will be filled with condemned humans who came into the world spiritually dead towards God. Heaven will be filled with glorified humans who came to this world spiritually dead toward God, but turned to Christ as sinners to receive salvation of their souls by the new birth, when they believed that Christ alone was able to save them from what they were by birth and nature. By the same token, hell will be filled with condemned humans who came into this world spiritually dead toward God, and then died physically without ever having believed that Jesus was the full sacrifice for their sins. Why do I say that? Of sin. Because they believe not on me. That's the reason you go to hell. Because you won't believe on Jesus Christ as the total atonement, the total sacrifice, the total offering. Everything that was necessary to save you eternally was done by that man. He's the only man who ever lived that loved the Lord his God with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul, and his neighbor as himself. He's the only one. And if you don't come to him to trust you and put all your faith in him, you're headed straight for hell. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, either to get saved or after you're saved to make sure that you get there, you're headed straight for hell, and you better bite the bullet and realize it. Men and women do not go to hell for their sin. They go to hell because they refused to believe Jesus took all their sins in his own body on the cross and was then resurrected from the dead to answer their request to save them by belief in the promise in his word. They would not return to him spiritually by the new birth. God is a spirit. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. The Spirit of Almighty God is the Holy Spirit. He's here. This is his word. The Bible, the scriptures. 1 Peter 2, 24-25. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Sins is plural. He didn't just take part of your sins. You don't have to wash the rest away yourself. He took all of them. And when Christ died on the cross, all of you were still in the future, including myself. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop we saw. Have you ever returned to Christ? Have you ever actually returned to him? Romans 10:13. All right. I put the word of God on screen. I've explained it, best I know how, by the leadership of the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, you've heard it. You've seen it. Now, how do you get saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon him because I believed he was alive 60 years ago. I believed that he died on the cross for my sins. I knew I was a sinner. I had no problem with that. The Holy Spirit had convicted me. For 4 long years, from age 8 to 12, of what a sinner I was. And the more I tried to change to become Mr. Perfect, the more I became more imperfect. And finally I realized, the only reason I'm going to hell is because I haven't come to Jesus. I haven't trusted him to save me. And I came to him. And I asked him to save me. And I got saved. He said, well, there's got to be more to it than that. You got to be baptized. Oh, no, you don't. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul would never have said that if the baptism was a part of the good news of salvation. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. I haven't used wisdom of words. I've just shown you the scripture. You have a mind. Read it out for yourself. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now listen to this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
But unto us which are saved is the power of God. If you think you have to add to that, then you think that what I'm teaching is foolishness. I'm telling you, you can't add to or take away from what Jesus did. And he's the bleeding body on the cross. He's the torn flesh. He's the shed blood. He's the sacrifice. He's the offering. I can stand here and tell you that I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did, and because of nothing that I have ever done or ever could do. Hebrews 9:27-28. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Well, I've got good news from the Lord. Jesus is going to be my judge. I won't appear at the great white throne of judgment, where all the people who wouldn't receive Christ, who wouldn't trust in the promised seed of Genesis 3:15, wouldn't believe he was the seed when he came, and don't believe that he was the seed who came and was resurrected from the dead. Yes, I have an appointment with death, and I will keep it, as will all of you. And I do have to be judged after this, but after this, the judgment. How do I know I won't end up at the great white throne of judgment and be cast into a lake of fire? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. How many? Exactly how many? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin because they believe not on me. Christ bore my sin. I believe on him as the total offering for my sin. I'm looking for him. And when he returns, he won't find a man that's full of sin because it wasn't taken away. He'll find one of those men that acknowledges and recognizes and praises God and thanks him from the depth of his soul that he took my sins in his own body on the tree. I don't have to worry about hell or a lake of fire. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He took my sin. I don't have to worry about hell or a lake of fire. Now this morning I want to ask you, where is your faith? What's your faith in? Your baptism? Your church membership? Your good work? Your church attendance? What's your faith in? Yourself? Are in God. The only way your faith can be in God is through Christ Jesus. And it's him you've got to come to. And if you don't put all your faith in him, you're going to be right down there with the rest of all those sinners in hell. It's going to be all sinners in heaven. But the difference will be those in heaven believed on Jesus to take away their sins. And those in hell did not. When we have this invitation, if you want to be saved, as I've said many times, I've got some wonderful news for you. I can't save you. I couldn't even save myself. Nobody sitting in this building can save you. The church can't save you. Your baptism can't save you. Your works can't save you. Now here's the most important thing of all. You can't save yourself. Who does that leave? Jesus. You come trusting Jesus, and he'll save you. But you have to believe on him. If you believe, I think you'll come. As the song leader and pianist come, I've shown you God's word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Spirit.